an apostle and teacher. For this reason I also suffer these things, for I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed him, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what he has entrusted to him until that day. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for this day and this opportunity to share word. I had asked that you would hide me behind the cross of Christ, that today that you would be lifted up, that you would be glorified, that you would be magnified. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. This morning as we look into God's word, the letter has been addressed to our friend Timothy, the young minister who would soon at one time will be the pastor in the church of Ephesus. He's going to be a pastor and a very large church, as if you remember last week, we were reminded in the church. So here is, when we look at this young man, he's an example as a church leader. If you've been in a position of leadership, if you don't read in any part of it, as a Sunday school teacher, as a pastor, you are an example, whether you like it or not. People are going to look at those who say, I will lead, maybe just in a little different way than those that are not. What is interesting about a leader is that when those that are following him are going to be looking at him. Don't you think? You may not know this, but churches look at their pastor to see what he is doing. Pastor Rick, unfortunately, we might think, is always being looked at as what is he doing next? Where is he leading us? Where is he taking us? And what is interesting about the church, we must realize, is that as we lead the church, as we go forward, is what is motivating us in directing the church. And in James chapter 1, if we remember in, I missed my PowerPoint. Oh, flip it again, please. It says I'm really off now. It is almost foreign to me in some of this ways. In 1 Timothy chapter 1:7, it tells us that he was filled with the Spirit, was given the Spirit for, but with power, love, and discipline. Exegetical dictionary in the New Testament says that 2 Timothy 1:7 dispels fear and makes one ready to take suffering upon himself for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to take on suffering. This morning, the thought of suffering is not on the top of many of our lists. I want to suffer? Enough suffer? 2 Timothy, though, tells us, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be what? Persecuted. We will be reached. We must ask, though, ourselves why the Holy Spirit was poured out and why he was given. In Acts chapter 1, it tells us, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, Samaria, Judah, Samaria, and to the end of the most parts of the earth. When we read Acts and we will receive power, we want to jump up. Oh, glory to God, I'm going to receive God's power. I'm going to be the man of the hour, the woman of the hour. But the reason we're given that power is that we can do what? Witness. We can share the good news of Jesus Christ. James tells us that there's going to be trials as receiving power, we read Acts, we jump for glory, but as we walk with Christ, There are going to be times that we're going to have trials. That when we to testify about Christ, it says, but if no trials or testings were so greatly, how could we work in our lives? That we testify of the great love of God. In James 1:2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work in you, that we may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That as we spread the good news of Jesus Christ, you and I may very well have days of suffering, of trials and trials. Yes, I'm a born-again believer. I believe in the miraculous. I believe great things can happen in your lives, in my own life. In May of 2021, when it says it seems like a long time now, I had COVID. I was in the hospital for 5 days. I was given Remisphere for 5 days. I got out of the hospital on Friday. Then 9 days later, I was working 40 hours a week. That's a miracle. We have a great God who is serving. I serve a miracle-working God. And we have been empowered on high to tell others about Christ. Why else would Paul encourage or exhort? I would even give correction for Timothy, which you might even want to label timid Timothy. Is therefore do as it 2 Timothy 1:8 says, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Dr. Gordon Fee writes, for the very reason that the Spirit of God has given us, he leads us not to cowardness, but fills us with power that we may go forth and proclaim Christ. Therefore, the word is key in connecting in verses 7 and 8. That is why the reason the Holy Spirit is given, so that our lives and our testimony can testify about Christ. Paul is a man who mightily was used by God. He also was persecuted for the church of Jesus Christ. Oh, you can't read that, that's for sure. But in Acts, we can read read that even at the stoning of Stephen, who was there? Saul, wasn't he? And he was in agreement with those stoning him, wasn't he? His clothing was at his feet. In verse 8 of Acts, it says, Saul hardly is in agreement with putting him to death. And on that great day, the persecution began in the church of Jerusalem. Now, this is Saul. But later on, if we look in Acts 9, Acts 9, we read that Paul, at the same time he was converted, he had his Damascus Road experience, he was blinded, he went, and for 3 days and three nights he fasted, and he prayed, and he got, and Ananias went to him, and he said in Acts chapter 9, Ananias said, here am I, Lord. Lord said to me, get up and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judah for a man from Tarsus named Saul, and for he was praying. And he had seen a vision of a man named Ananias, and came in, and he laid his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, have I heard from many about this man, how much he did to harm your saints. And then we go to verse 17. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying on hands on him, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain sight and your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately they fell from his eyes like scales, and he regained his sight, and he had got up and was baptized, and he took food and was straightened and was strengthened. Paul is now calling Timothy to something new that he is not something new for him. It is something that Paul had as he was well acquainted to. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we can see where Paul speaks as though, for far my labors, far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger. 5 times I received the news, the Jews 9 lashes. In times I was beaten by rods, 1 stone. 3 times I was shipwrecked. The night and the day I have spent in the deep. I have been in journeys and dangers. And it goes on. Paul was not unaware of suffering for the gospel of Christ, for suffering for Christ. What Paul was calling Timothy to, he said, do not be timid about the testimony of Christ, and do not be timid or afraid of my condition. Paul lived a life for Jesus Christ. If you study Paul or Saul, you will see he was a man who was changed by the power of God and then was used in ways not so sure to come when he came first to Christ. I believe Paul that clearly knew that he was calling Timothy. He'd be not ashamed to testify, to be a witness. Paul was a witness for Jesus Christ. He knew what that meant and what he was calling Timothy to. Paul didn't instruct Timothy on ways of how to escape a living and not being a testimony of Christ. He said, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Why would Paul call Timothy to a life he knew if he himself had not suffered first? Just a note, a side note, and it would be popular. Would there be anyone here would want to get in line to suffer for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Think about it. Would I say, oh, Pat, I'm willing to get in line so that I might suffer for Christ, that I might share the gospel, but though it may cost me something, or whatever it might cost me, I would be willing to share Christ. I would be willing to suffer for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to read those. The reason why why would Paul want Timothy? Why would Paul want suffer for Christ? Because the biggest reason is, what did Christ do for each and every one of us? He saved us. He provides salvation for each and every one. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Shall be saved. The message of the gospel still needs to be proclaimed, no matter if it costs something or not. The gospel must be proclaimed. Jesus saved us. Titus, Paul writes Titus. Oh, praise God! Oh, that's even better. Oh, now there goes my sermon. I printed out my sermon. I should have kept with that. Paul wrote out in Timothy. I'm going to go. Paul said to Timothy, "Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't fear what's coming. Look past the suffering and look to a place that we will be." What are we all hoping for? Heaven? Do we all believe in John chapter 14, verse 1, that what's before us? What's being prepared for us? A mansion. He's been up there for 2,000 years, if you want to say, preparing a place for each and every one of us. And when we think about the testimony or testifying about Christ, what do many people do? Have you ever cold witnessed to somebody? Have you ever come up to and ask them, do you know Jesus? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? There's a little bit of fear and trepidation in that. And the question, I think, even Paul was asking Timothy, and what we sometimes need to ask ourselves, if I am going to testify, if I am going to proclaim Christ, we cannot worry what we are going to lose or what we might suffer for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is great that we who are sitting, I'm hoping that everybody here has come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But today, as we look back on Timothy, he was fearful. Gordon Fee even possibly considered him a coward. I don't know, I put 10 years in the Navy. If you were called a coward, that was not a good thing. But what I am saying, as in 2 Timothy, what he brings out is that hey, God has paid the price for our salvation. He has done it all. The testimony that God saves each and every one of us has got to be proclaimed to each and every one of us. In our world we live in today, how many of us are looking for the return of Christ? We're all looking for it. Are we concerned about those that aren't going to make it? Are we concerned? Are we telling those about us, those around us, our parents, our grandparents, our children, our aunts, our uncles, are we telling them that Jesus died for them? I know I have two parents. I told them about Jesus, but they said no. I wish I had a testimony that said, oh, that God was, God's great, and my mom and dad are spending the eternity in heaven. But no, I don't have that. Did it cost me? Maybe I don't, sometimes I don't think so, but it did cost me to come out of my shell and say, Mom, do you know Jesus? And my mother saying, well, you know what you know, and I know what I know, and I will do what I will do, and you will do what you will do. And I'll be honest, I left it at that. Today, in 2 Timothy, here's my sermon. As we look in 2 Timothy, Timothy is encouraged to come out of his shell. Don't worry about what you will not have tomorrow. Because if we look in the day of that time, people who stood for Christ were persecuted. Where was Paul at this time? He's in jail. Where will we be as we look today in our society? If we truly proclaim Christ, where will we be? What will we gain, or what we might lose if we stay, we speak, or if we stay silent? That's, you know, I'm giving you what I got from studying this passage, is that there's a Timothy, he's a young pastor, and Paul's encouraging him, get in the program. Get with it all. There's a Savior that loves each and every one of us, and everyone needs to know. And no matter if it cost us all, our lives even, it's worth the It's worth it. It simply is worth it. Because even if I die today, and I die because I'm proclaiming Christ, where am I going to go? Scripture says there'll be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. But I will be with my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The question will be, and for all of us, will we humble ourselves enough and not worry about what we lose, but what we will be gaining so that we come to Christ? We've come to Christ. My name, I truly believe, as the scripture says, my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you believe that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Have you confessed your sins and repented and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And now that you have, are you telling others? Timothy was shying from the truth. I have to believe, it doesn't say exactly as a text, but he was shying from the truth. And Paul said, hey, Timothy, get with the program. Could it be today, even as I prepared for this service, God is telling me, get with the program. I think that's the message that I have for all of us this morning, is that though we're looking for a day when we will put on new robes, or be given new names, and I love all the promises we will find in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 about those that overcome. And I would even recommend that you read Revelation chapter 2 and find out what great things that God is going to give the church, those that overcome. But until that day, until the day we stand before a loving Savior and God, we, as the scripture says in the King James, we need to what? We need to occupy until he comes. We need to tell others about the love of Jesus Christ. I don't care how many people know where I live. God, you know, in this day and age, we need to, we're worried about security. We're worried about somebody knowing where I am, what they know about. I believe if the government wants me, they got me. I have an iPad. I have an iPhone. I'm a Vietnam era veteran. They know all about me. They know my health. They know everything about me. They know my address. They know where. And if it goes that the government takes, we go to a digital currency, they'll have my money too. But the scripture says to trust in the Lord. It's coming. The end is coming. I truly believe that Christ is coming soon. But until that time, until that day, the trumpet blasts and we head home, the gospel of Jesus Christ must be proclaimed without concern of cost to life and liberty. Wherever we go, we've got to be willing, including myself, tell others about Jesus. I got an iPhone that'll tell Washington exactly where I am. But they won't, when I'm gone, they won't find me. They ain't going. But today, as we look at today, we must be encouraged and strengthened. Get in the program. Get with it. Tell others about Christ, because each and every one of us can go to some place that I can't or you can't. How about you? And can anyone go with me to a warehouse in Menominee and work in a warehouse with no air conditioning in the summer and no heat in the winter? I love working in 45-degree weather. Or recently we had 109 heat index and no air conditioning. That's so much fun. But we have to realize, as Esther did, for such a time as this, we're here. God's plan is for to use who? Us, for proclaiming his truth. That's our lot, if you want to say, in life, is to go and proclaim Christ, Savior and Lord. Because if we don't, who will hear? If someone doesn't go, if our neighbor doesn't hear about Jesus, or our relatives, we say we love our family, but but those that don't know Christ, have we told them about him? Have we been willing to risk the relationship in our families so that they might know Jesus as Lord? I'm going to make it brief, because I've already went off the sermon I had. If you hadn't noticed, I've been off the rails for a while. And I know it's humor, and I think we should have time. And my time is almost up anyway. The question we must ask ourselves, will we humble ourselves? Will we surrender our lives that we be willing to tell others about Jesus? We have that security. We say, oh, God loves me. He does so much for me. Are we willing to tell others about that? We may get shot down. I remember when I first got saved, I told people about Jesus a lot. I'd knock on doors and cold, they call cold witnessing. That takes a brave person. I'm not sure I was, but I did it anyway. And do we willing to be called crazy, a freaky Christian? I don't know whatever the names. I remember before I got saved, I had a Christian that was on my submarine, and I used to call him a Bible thumper. Is that persecution? No. In the years that I've been alive, I've been called a lot worse. But what I'm saying is, are we willing to suffer some that others might know Christ? That's what Paul is doing. They were suffering some that others might know Christ. The choice is ours. I can't make that for you. I can encourage you today, tell others about Jesus. The question we have to ask each and other, every one of us, will we? Will I? Will I seek God so that I have the words to speak? Will I allow Him to empower me to have the boldness to go to my neighbor and tell them, do you know Jesus? Don't ask him, he's gone to church. The odds are, no. Well, a lot of people who call themselves self-Christians don't go to church anyway either, if you want to know. But the question is, do they know Jesus? Are they a follower of Christ? Are you a follower of Christ? Not a follower of church. So this morning, that's my challenge. That's what's been laid on my heart. That we go beyond the suffering, that we might proclaim Christ to others. Amen. Please, if you would stand with me, I'd like to close with a hymn, I Surrender All. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power, let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, My blessed Savior, I surrender all. Lord Jesus, you are great and wonderful and awesome. You are the King of kings and you are the Lord of lords. Lord God, my prayer for this day, for each and every one of us, that you would pour out your Spirit on us all, that we might boldly be witnesses for Jesus Christ, that we might go beyond the barriers, upon the idea of what I might lose, what I might suffer, and share the good news of Jesus Christ. As Timothy was encouraged, as Paul had done, can we be like them and join them in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Oh, Lord God, this is my prayer, that you would empower us to be your witnesses, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.